clocks, cars, furnaces, refrigerators, and cell phones all have one thing in common. They need to work. If you can't count on them, they're not very useful, are they? They need to be reliable. They need to be faithful. In thinking about the year ahead, I've been thinking about what would be helpful for us at Northwest to keep as a focus in 2024. What do we need at Northwest? Some of us are missing the daily presence of special family members that are no longer with us. A lot of that in 2023. Also, all of us individually and all of us together may be facing some discouragement. We need to remember two things. One, that God is faithful to us. And two, that we need to be faithful to fulfill what we've been given to do, such as sharing with others our time and resources, and sharing especially the good news. We started off talking about how important it is that our appliances and devices keep working. We count on them. We need to remember that we can count on our God far more than any of our appliances which break. He never breaks. And we need to remember that He wants to be able to count on us. Our record on that is maybe not so good. But He wants to be able to count on us. So, if the outline I wanted to share, and maybe we could put the first part up on the screen, is that God is incredibly faithful. He's faithful to be true to His own unchangeable character, and He is faithful to do what He has promised at the right time. And then we'll go on to talk about how God wants us to be faithful by carrying out His commission for this world and considering it an appropriate response to His mercies, receiving His commendation for our services, for our service, and bringing gladness to His heart. So we'll cover all of those. But starting out with the idea that God is incredibly faithful. He's faithful to be true to His own unchangeable character. Number of verses we'll be looking at, a couple of them, a couple of passages we'll turn to. I'll just read the rest. James 1:17 is talking about how God is unchangeable. Verse 17 reads, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Aren't you glad that our God doesn't change? That if we found Him to be true on something in the past, that He will continue to be the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then also, God's incredibly faithful to His character, and that includes loving kindness and compassions. And why don't we just turn to, if you have a Bible, and I think we all have a Bible in the rack in front of us, Lamentations chapter 3, and let's read verses 21 through 26. I think it's a well-known passage. About the character of God. Lamentations 3, verse 22. I'm sorry, verse 21. Lamentations right after Jeremiah. This I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. But particularly in verse 22, the Lord's loving kindnesses never quit. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And that is, again, God is faithful. He's to be unchangeably who he is. He's faithful for his loving kindness and compassions to continue toward us. I mean, that's who he is. And so we will continue to see that from him. People change, don't they? People that used to be friendly aren't friendly anymore. Things like that happen. Our Lord never changes. He always will be who he is. Notice that as we read in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, that his faithfulness and his loving kindness are often linked in parallel thought, in parallel lines in Scripture. One example of many is familiar, I think, to most of us, Psalms 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. So you have loving kindness and faithfulness associated with each other. And there's many other verses we could have listed there where, you know, if you do a study of it, there's, you know, faithfulness in the Old Testament and loving kindness are often found just right in the same verse. So, again, aren't you glad that God's faithfulness to us includes loving kindness and not some human emotion like, you know, exasperation or other things like that that are so characteristic of us, but loving kindness is us. He wants us to think of loving kindness in association with his faithfulness. Part of his character that is unchangeable is justice and righteousness. Revelation 19:11 says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war." So you can see these verses that we're pulling here this morning have to do with faithfulness or faithful. You know, we're talking about God being faithful. And here we see that the white horse in Revelation 19, the one who sits on it is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in this verse 11 of Revelation 19:11, he's referred to as he is called faithful and true. That's his description there. And in righteousness, he wages war and judges. So we see that our Lord Jesus will be faithful to settle injustices and to deal with sin on earth and in the hearts of men. He will be faithful to deal with the sin question on earth. Right now, when we read the newspapers, we long for that, don't we? We're not, if we look for a politician somewhere or a world figure to bring about that peace, it's not going to happen. But our Lord Jesus will resolve the sin question. Okay, well, we've also said that God is incredibly faithful to be true to his character, but also to do what he's promised at the right time. That's, we think of his faithfulness to his character, but now we're thinking about faithfulness to his promises. And he's made a few of them. If you look through scripture, he's made a few promises to us. And he's made promises. If we think about it, we read through Genesis, we read about the promises he made to Abraham. You know, he promised, you know, that Abraham would have many descendants, that he promised Abraham a land. And then the promise to his wife Sarah that she would have a baby in her old age. And that child, that baby, would start off this long line of descendants that was promised to Abraham. Hebrews 11:11, chapter 11, verse 11, says, "By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised." Sarah saw that God was faithful to keep his promises. Now, that didn't happen right away. At first she laughed at the idea. But we read about all of that in Genesis. But we read here in Hebrews 11 that Sarah really did trust. She really did trust that God was going to do this, that he was able to do this. And she conceived, even though she was way too old. She got the promise, I think, when she was 65. And that would have been too old, but she actually didn't have the baby of promise until she was 90. So, you know, that was a miracle. But God did what he said he would do. He kept his promise. It was 25 years after the promise was made. So notice that God keeps his promises, but it's going to be in his perfect time. And a lot of times we think about his promises and we think, okay, Lord, you promised to deliver me, you promised to help, and yet, you know, I'm not seeing things. And, well, the Lord does keep his promises, but he keeps them in his perfect time. And we see that with Sarah giving birth. Now there's other promises, like, you know, he says, if we belong to him, if we put our trust in him, he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." I mean, that's a promise that's ongoing. And there's other promises like that. By their very nature, they have to be continuing now. But there are some promises to be received in the future. And certainly Isaac's birth from Sarah, also the, the peace and justice to be resolved on this earth when our Lord Jesus comes. Yet that's going to happen at the right time. We don't know when that is. But he is faithful to keep his promises. There were also promises to David. King David, he was promised that he would always have a son on the throne of Israel. Now, right now, we don't see a king of Israel, do we? We have a prime minister, we have all that, but we don't have a king. But there will be one. Again, God will do this in his time, and that ultimate son of David will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And in connection with this promise to David, we're not going to take the time to turn to it, but if you read Psalm 89, it's talking about the promise to David, and you'll see the word faithfulness all over it. You know, many times the word faithfulness appears in Psalm 89 in connection with God's promise to have David's son on the throne. So God keeps his promise in his perfect time. Well, he's also made promises that are very applicable to us. Other promises were to Abraham and Sarah and David, but promises that are we can claim ourselves. First, again, these are verses that speak about God being faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reads, "No temptation has taken you as a believer. No temptation has taken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." So that's one promise. Another promise is that he has provided a merciful and faithful high priest. And Hebrews 2:17 tells us about this. I'll read it to you. "Therefore, he," meaning Jesus Christ, "he had to be made like his brothers in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." So the Lord Jesus Christ had to be made like his brothers, had to become a human being, become one of us. And living through the daily life we live, he grew up from a baby all the way through youth, young adulthood, up until he's in his 30s. And he became that, that he might become a merciful and faithful, there's that word again, faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. And of course, a high priest represents represents the needs of the people to God. And Jesus Christ is that for us. And he makes propitiation, or he completely satisfies the needs of the people for their sins, because he suffered that, he suffered for them on the cross and poured out his blood. So he can make propitiation, completely satisfy the Father's need for justice against us for our sins. He can represent us completely to God. This is, God has been good to give us this high priest who is faithful to be there for us. Another promise we have is that he provides daily forgiveness as we confess our sins to him. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, daily many times daily we realize that we've messed up on things, and rather than have to shrink back from God, we can draw near with confidence, confessing our sin to Him and knowing that He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. He's faithful, meaning He will do it, and He's righteous. He has a right to forgive us our sins because they've been paid for. So we can come to Him with confidence and to cleanse us. It says He cleanses us from all unrighteousness as we do this. And another promise is that He will deliver on the hope that we have in Him. Hebrews 10:23 tells us, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." So everything we have as believers, our hope, expectation of heaven, everything everything we have as believers, which consists of many, many promises of eternal life, the Holy Spirit's presence within us, His walking with us, His strengthening us, many promises we didn't cover here, but all those promises, the Lord Jesus is faithful to be, as it says in, I think it's 2 Corinthians, He is the yea and amen to all the promises of God. So this is the faithfulness of our God in promising us and being willing and able to keep those promises. He will keep His promises to us. Okay, could we go to the next slide? The other part of this is kind of the response. What is our response to God's faithfulness to us? His wonderful faithfulness. He's never changing. He's always there. He's always ready to receive us if we come to Him with repentance, if we come to Him with recognizing who He really is, He's willing to receive us. And we can come with confidence knowing we won't be cast out. What's our response to that? God wants us to be faithful. He wants to be able to count on us. You know, you go to use a tool or even I was eating something with a plastic fork this past week and I was trying to cut something with it, and of course the tine of the fork broke because it wasn't really reliable for what I was trying to use it for. God wants us to be faithful for carrying out His commission for this world. He wants to be able to count on us to carry out His commission. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. We've read them before. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So this is a commission that He wants us to be willing to participate in. It's something that He wants to count on us for. And we not only have that commission that He wants us to do as we go to do it, but there's a promise that He will be with us as we go and do it. So He'll be faithful to His promise, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go and make disciples, and lo, I am with you." So He wants us to be faithful to his commission of us, and he promises he'll be faithful to us as well, to be with us as we do that. Sharing the gospel and a genuine love for those around us is Lord's calling to us at Northwest. That's something I think we really, all of us, and especially me, we want to think about that, I think, in going into 2024. Okay, so he wants us to be faithful carrying out his commission for this world. He also wants us to consider this to be an appropriate response to his mercies. Romans 12, 1 and 2 illustrates this. He wants us to be faithful because it's an appropriate response to his mercies. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. So it's on the basis of the mercies of God in verse 1. On the basis of the mercies of God, he calls us to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice that is acceptable to God, which is a spiritual service of worship. You know, so in response to his mercies, he wants us to be a tool that he can use. Then, if we look at Matthew 25, we want to look at the idea of receiving his commendation for our service. The Lord's given us a commission, a responsibility, he wants us to follow through with it, and we should follow through with it because of the mercies he's shown us, but he also plans to, and he wants to be able to commend us, to congratulate us, to thank us for this service. Let's look at Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. And if you'd like to turn to that, it might be good to have that in front of us. But the Lord often spoke in parables to, to illustrate a point. And Matthew 25, starting at verse 14, he said, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey." And let me just stop there and just say that, you know, if you're not familiar with it, that a talent, you know, was like another name for a weight measure of, you know, perhaps like, you know, gold or silver or something like that. It was so much of a wealth or precious stones or precious metals to each one. So he gave 1 5. To another 2, and to another 1. And then he went on his journey. Verse 16, "Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. "See, I have gained 5 more talents. The master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one who had also received the 1 talent came up and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.' But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and upon my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" So we see that of these slaves, we see that some had more opportunity than others. Some had a lot entrusted to them. And that person did well. He doubled it. Another person didn't have as much to work with, had a smaller amount. And he invested it, and he doubled his as well. And the master was happy with both of them. He said, "Well done, you know? Well done, good and faithful slave. And you were faithful with small stuff. I will put you in charge of a lot of things." Now, the one fella didn't really do anything. And he was not commended at all. And he could be a picture of someone that really doesn't have a relationship with the Lord. But if we've been given something from the Lord, he wants us to, whatever he's given us, he wants us to use it for him. Whatever abilities we have, whatever resources we have. What matters to him is how faithful we have been to him with what we have been given. And finally, the last thing is God wants us to be faithful, bringing gladness to his heart. And I would just read to you a verse from Job chapter 1, verse 8, where Satan is harassing the Lord about, you know, everything. And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." You get the idea that the Lord was proud of Job. He was happy with the way Job was conducting his life, and the Lord was happy to be able to say, "Hey, look at my man Job down there." And He's faithful. He does what's right. And he fears me and he turns away from evil. And of course, we know that there was more that happened in that story. And that's not our purpose this morning to cover all of that. But my point is that when we are faithful to God, we can bring joy to his heart. And I think that is something valuable. You know, like if you pick up a plastic fork that doesn't do what you want it to do, or if you are using a screwdriver and it, you know, maybe it's flimsy and it snaps or the handle breaks or something. If something, or again, you come home and your refrigerator stopped working and all your meat's spoiled. You know, when things don't do what they're supposed to do, we're kind of disappointed, right? And we want the Lord to be glad when he looks at us and just be able to say, you know, I like what I'm seeing, you know. Your faithfulness is a joy to my heart, and to be able to bring him joy by what we do. A familiar song that we sing often, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." In one of the lines, the chorus actually. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So, we serve a faithful God. And as we said, God is incredibly faithful. He's incredibly faithful. He's true to his character. And he keeps his promises. He keeps his promises. He may do it in his time, but he will keep his promises. And the other thing to remember is that God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to carry out his commission for this world. Share the good news. Look for opportunities to do it and ask him to help us to do that. And we want to do that, considering it an appropriate response to his mercies. And knowing that we'll receive a commendation. We want to receive that well done, good and faithful servant. When our works are reviewed at the end of time. And again, we want to bring gladness to his heart, that we can be a useful tool in his hands that he can count on. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. We don't deserve your goodness. We don't deserve your loving kindness, your mercies. And forgive us when we take them for granted. Help us to count on you to be faithful, because you've demonstrated, you have a track record of being faithful. Of being good to those who serve you and follow you. And then help us to, in view of your mercies to us, help us to respond and to make our lives and our resources available to you, for you to use, so that you are pleased with what you see in our lives. Help us during 2024. Help us at Northwest to encourage each other to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name.